morning. Let's turn to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, with a thankfulness in our hearts, we come before thee in this morning, in this then house of worship, prepared in this day to love thee and to serve thee, to dedicate this day for thy service. Father, we hope and pray that in this day that thy name would be honored and glorified, and that we, thy people, would be able to look into thy word and to see who we really are in the light of thy word, that we would look into thy word as a mirror, to see our faults, dear Father, and to feel shame for those things that we do that do not please thee. Help us, dear God, to seek thee in this day. Those of us who are converted and unconverted alike, dear Father, help us to seek thy face and to turn to thee with our full hearts. For this we do pray and ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. With God's help, I'd like to turn to the Old Testament for this morning's reading in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12. 2 Samuel, chapter 12, the first 23 verses.
Bratje naše, uz Božju pomoć da se čita iz Staroga Zaveta, iz druge knjige proroka Samuila, 12. glava. Druga Samuilova, 12. glava, prvih 23 stiha.
Second Samuel, chapter 12. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said unto Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house, and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord, to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, The Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of the house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead. Then David arose from the earth, and washed, and anointed himself, and changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord, and worshipped. And then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. And then said his servants unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was yet alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore shall I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. May God bless the reading of his word. King David was a man of an incredible faith. His life is recorded for us in great detail. His ups and downs were also recorded in detail. His life is really as an open book for us. We can see his victories, we can see his failings, and I believe we can see for ourselves, when we look at David, we see ourselves a lot of times. We can see how we also have our ups and downs in this life, and we can learn from the life of David. And David, as a young man, was, again, a man of incredible faith. He had a faith in God that did not let him down. And our faith in God also will never let us down. It was revealed to David that he would replace Saul as the king of Israel. Saul had done wickedly in the sight of God, and God had revealed that David would be the new king. And David was given the opportunity to kill Saul multiple times, but he didn't. He said, Who am I? Who am I to kill the Lord's anointed? The Lord had set Saul over Israel. Who am I to take his life? When the Lord is ready, he will take his life. But he did not want to be that one. Even though Saul tried to kill David, David did not try to kill Saul in return. He had that faith that God would take care of it, and it was not for him to do that. And when he was just a young boy, we know the story of him fighting against Goliath, the giant of the Philistines. He had no fear against Goliath at all. And that story is recorded for us in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, where Goliath is challenging anyone from Israel to come and battle against him. And all the Israelites were afraid. They were afraid that this giant would easily destroy them. But David, as a young boy, had a faith in God. And he says, Who are you? He's telling Goliath, Who are you to stand up against the Lord God of Israel? Who do you think you are? Being but a small young lad, he had a faith that God would give him victory over Goliath. And he describes here how David was tending, he was taking care of his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear to destroy these sheep, but David had that faith in God, and he killed both the lion and the bear. And he said, the giant of the Philistines, Goliath, will be just as the lion and the bear who I slew with God's help. He will fall, and he will die, and his body, his carcass, will be eaten in the streets. And David said that others would know that there is a God in Israel. And again, an incredible faith. He did not even put on armor when he went to battle against Goliath. All he had was 5 stones. He had no other weapons, but he trusted. He trusted in God that he would give him the victory, and he did. God, we know the story, did give him the victory over Goliath. So David knew that this faith in God would never fail him, and yet, in the previous chapter that we did not read, 2 Samuel 11, it describes the great sin of David. He was walking upon the roof of his palace, and from the roof he saw a woman, a beautiful woman, and he wanted her for himself. He wanted her to be his wife, but she was not. She was already married, and she had a husband named Uriah. And David, in his sin, took Bathsheba was her name. He took Bathsheba for his own wife, and he had her husband killed. He had her husband killed so he could take this wife for himself. He committed the sin of adultery, and that was very, of course, displeasing unto the Lord. He completely lacked faith. He completely lost sight of what was important in life, and that was serving his Lord, and committed this sin, stole this man's wife, had him killed, and really Saul felt no remorse for it. That's how the devil works in our lives. He gets us to sin, and then he removes any remorse from our lives. That's the wickedness of the devil and his working when we lose sight of God, when we lose sight of focusing on him. And we know that he has no remorse because when Nathan the prophet came to David and described to him this situation of two men, there was a rich man and a poor man, and the rich man, it's described, has many flocks, many herds, and the poor man had nothing. And there's a visitor that came unto this rich man, and the rich man wanted to prepare a meal for his guest. But he did not take of his many animals, no, but he went next door to the poor man and stole his own one sheep that he had. And David was angry when he heard the story. He said, that rich man must die for his sin. He must die and he must restore unto that poor man fourfold, must return unto him four times what he stole from him. David knew what was right. He knew that this rich man was in the wrong, but he did not see that he himself was that rich man. And Nathan says unto him, David, thou art that man. You are the one who has taken this poor man's wife. You have killed him. You have stolen his wife. You are that man. And it was then revealed unto David that, yes, he was in the wrong. It was at that point when Nathan told him, you are that man, that David said, I have greatly sinned. I have greatly sinned against the Lord. He recognized his own sin. He recognized his own fault. At that point, he knew that he was in the wrong. Before, he didn't even recognize it. The man of that great amount of faith as a child completely lost sight of his Lord, completely lost sight of his goal in life, which was to serve his Lord. And Nathan here describes what he heard from the Lord. The Lord told David, because, in verse 14, because by this deed, because by the thing that you have done, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. So David had this son with Bathsheba, who he stole. They had a son together. And God said, because you have sinned, the other nations around Israel are mocking me. They are blaspheming my name. The children of Israel were to be the representatives of God. When the other nations around them were to think of God, they thought of the children of Israel. They were God's representatives. And there's no greater representative of God's people than the king himself, King David. He was the, if there was one representative of God's people, it was him. And others knew this sin that he had committed. And because they knew it, because they knew who he was supposed to be, they blasphemed the Lord. They mocked his holy name. They mocked God because of the sin that David had committed. And God said, because of this, that child that thou hast had with Bathsheba, he will die. There had to be consequences for David's sin, just as there are consequences many times for our own sins. We can live a life of sin and repent, and God will forgive us. We believe that with our whole hearts, that God will forgive any of us of any sin that we commit if we come to him with a broken and a contrite heart, a heart that feels remorse and shame. God will forgive us, but there are often consequences that follow us for those sins. We can lose our own physical or mental health because of substances we may have abused. We can break relationships with those who are close with us, and they may never forgive us. God may have forgiven us, but others around us may never forgive us for those things that we have done. There are consequences for our sins. And David here he felt the consequences for his own sin. God told him, the son that was born will surely die. And the Lord struck the child with some kind of sickness. It doesn't describe it. It just says the son was very sick. God told David, you will not die. God had a plan for David. You will not die, but the son that you had will die. And it's recorded here how David fasted. He wept. He besought the Lord that he would save his child. That was David's wish, was that his son would not die. He was fasting. He was mourning. He felt remorse for what he had done. And we read a beautiful psalm that David wrote. I believe we all know it very well. Psalm 51. After David had sinned with Bathsheba, after he stole her and took her for his own wife, after it was revealed unto him that he was that rich man, that one that was living in sin, he wrote Psalm 51, where he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, And he goes on and describes what he seeks, what he is seeking from the Lord. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." He's pleading unto the Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me, the Holy Spirit that is within each and every one of us, that directs us, gives us direction how to live our lives. David is pleading with the Lord, please do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. David recognized that he himself could not at all live a victorious life without this Holy Spirit within him. And he says, after he says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, after he is pleading with the Lord to cleanse him, he writes, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. And David recognized that in his sin, living in sin, a life of selfishness, he could not teach anyone the ways of the Lord. And that is the same for us. We as God's people are also supposed to be his representatives. Even as David and the people of Israel were supposed to be God's representatives, that is who we are to be today. We are the representatives of God, the ambassadors, the Bible describes us as, the ambassadors of God unto a lost and a dying world. If the world doesn't see God through us, then it will never see God. It is us. It is we who are to be anointed to be God's servants. Only when David was restored, only when he was cleansed, washed, and made white as snow, only then could he teach transgressors, sinners, the ways of the Lord. No different for us today. And in the chapter that we have read, where Nathan says unto David, because you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child that you have that was born unto thee shall surely die. We also can give excuses to unbelievers to blaspheme the name of the Lord, to mock the name of God. Other unbelievers know how a Christian should live. They know exactly when we sin, when we do something against God's will, unbelievers know right away. They know right away that is not the life that God wants us to live. And they mock God and they say, see, God gives no power, no strength to people because look at this servant. Look at this so-called servant of God. Look how he is living. And they blaspheme the Lord's holy name because of maybe us, maybe the things that we do. Is there anything in our lives that we do that will cause others to blaspheme, to mock the name of God? It doesn't have to be the sin of David. It doesn't have to be the sin of adultery, stealing someone's wife. It can be anything. It can be a list of things. We can go on and on. It can be a proud look. A proud look can never be hidden. Others will see if we have a pride within us, an arrogancy. Others will see that. And if we confess that we are a child of God and we have a pride within us, no one's going to listen to us. They're going to dismiss us, and rightfully so. They're going to see that that person has no strength, no power over sin, because look at how he's living. It can be the sin of pride. It can be the sin of arrogancy. It can be anything. We can list many things. Are we giving occasion? Are we giving excuses to others to live a life without God? Can other unbelievers look at us and think, I'm not going to serve the Lord because so-and-so, who claims to be a servant of God, is also not serving him. Why should I then? Why should I try to commit myself unto the Lord when this servant who claims him also does not live according to his will? And David knew that. David knew that in his sin, no one would listen to him. No one would listen to him. No one would seek out the Lord's ways. It was only when he would be washed that he would be restored. Then he could teach transgressors the ways of the Lord. And the Bible speaks in many places of the importance for us to be consistent, for our lives to be consistent with the teachings of God. It is very important. And one example of that is in the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, chapter number 2, it says, "Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Again, if we as God's people teach others how they should live, but we don't live that way, all we do is we give an excuse for others to blaspheme the name of God. And God was also not pleased with his children, the children of Israel. They failed him many times. They left his fold. They went and they served themselves, and God was not pleased with them. And a similar thought of blaspheming is recorded in Ezekiel. Chapter 36, verse 20, it says, speaking of the children of Israel, "And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name, when they said to them, These are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land." God's children, the children of Israel, were to be representatives. They went forth serving him, so they claimed. And yet the other people, the other nations, saw that they were not living for him, and they profaned. God says they profaned my holy name. God will not allow his holy name to be blasphemed. The importance of our service for God is written in even the book of Revelation, where God says, I don't want you to be, I'd rather have you to be hot or cold, not lukewarm. We as God's people are to be on fire for the Lord, to be serving him with our whole hearts. If we aren't, then God would rather have us to be cold. He would rather have us to be an unbeliever, living in sin openly. He'd rather have that than for us to be a claimed believer who is not living according to his word. God says if we are lukewarm, if we only serve him halfway, he will spew us out of his mouth. What a really scary image it is for us. God will spew us out of his mouth with a force if we claim that we are his children, but we don't live according to his will. God has no interest in a half-hearted service for him. And David understood that. And David was forgiven. God had forgiven the great sin of David. It was a great sin. But God saw that David had repented with his whole heart. He said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." David recognized his sin for what it was. And he repented sincerely. And God forgave him. We know God forgave him. Because from the lineage of, if we trace the lineage of Christ, both of Christ's parents, Joseph and Mary, came from David. That is how much God forgave David, is that through his seed came the Messiah, the Savior of the world. God forgave David of everything. He created in him a new heart. He washed him because he saw that David wanted that. He wanted to be restored. He was sorry for what he had done. We know that God will forgive us the same way. The same way he forgave David, he will forgive us if we come unto him again with that broken and contrite heart. And as David was mourning here for his son, he was pleading for the Lord to save him, to save his life. He was living a miserable life. The servants of King David saw that he was miserable. He was crying. He was on the ground, weeping. And when the servants knew that his son died, God did not save his son. When his servants knew that his son had died, they did not want to tell David. They didn't want to tell David his son had died because they said, look how he is acting. Look how he is acting in sorrow and in weeping. When his son is still alive, how will he react when he hears his son is dead? And they didn't want to tell him. But David recognized through their behavior, through their whispering with each other, he recognized that his son was probably dead, and he asked them, "Is it my son dead?" And they said, "Yes, your son has died." And when his son had died, David no longer wept, no longer wailed, but he stood up, and he ate bread. And his servants were amazed. They said, how come you were in such a miserable state when your son was dead alive, and yet when you heard your son was dead, you're not crying anymore? Why is that?" And David describes why that is. He was weeping to the Lord, crying to him, because he did not yet know whether God would be merciful unto him and save his son. But when David saw that there were consequences for his sin, and his son did die, he understood. He understood, but he also knew that he had repented. David knew in his heart that he had repented of his sin. As we read in Psalm 51, he repented fully. And because he had repented, he had a faith. He had a faith that he would see his son again. Because David says in the last verse that we read, verse 23, it says, "My son is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Why am I going to fast? Why am I going to not eat? Why am I going to cry? My son is dead. My son will no longer return unto me, but I will go unto him." He had a faith that there was a resurrection that was revealed unto him before Christ was even born, before Christ had died, before Christ had risen from the dead. David had a faith. It was revealed unto him that he would see his son again. That's the fullness of David's repentance. No longer did he weep for his son, but he knew, even as we prayed together, that it was just a brief separation from his son who he loved. Just a brief separation for the rest of David's life. Then he would go to see his son again. His son who was blameless, a baby, who committed no sin. David knew that he was saved and that he would be with the Lord forever. And David also knew that he would be with him. What a confidence, what a faith, what a restoration that God had given unto David. He restored him. David pleaded with the Lord, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me, and restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Restore it unto me that I would rejoice in you, Lord." And he did. He was restored. That is how God works. When he sees in us a true repentance, then he can work through us. He can work through us, and we can bring others unto the Lord. David even said, "When I repent, when I am restored, I can teach transgressors thy ways. I can teach them again, because they will see my life is once again consistent. They will see I have paid the price for my sin, and they will see my life is now consistent with the life that a child of God must live, and others will now listen to me." Again, is there anything in our lives that will point others away from Jesus Christ? At our places of work, are we examples? Do others know that we are Christians? If they do, and they should know, because we should be free to let them know, if they know that we are a child of God, do we live according to his word? Or do we let them make excuses for their own sins? Can anyone say about my life, about your life, that I don't want to live for Christ because he or she doesn't? If so, we are giving occasion, we are giving excuses for God's holy name to be blasphemed. God's holy name that will be raised up above all names. The name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And who are we to allow others to blaspheme the name of God? Let's look into this word in this day. Look into the life of David. See his sin for what it really is, and see our own sin for what it really is. Let's not make excuses for our sin ever. At no point should we ever make excuse and say, "It's okay, I'm in the flesh, I'm weak." Because all we're saying then is that God does not have the power to give me victory over that sin I'm struggling with. If I'm struggling with a sin and I feel no power over that sin, that is because I do not trust God with that sin, with that problem I have. I'm trying to fight the battle by myself. We know that we will never be victorious with that attitude. But with an attitude that trusts God with our whole heart, we will be victorious. And we will never allow anyone to blaspheme God's holy name. And with God's help, we will then be able to work for his kingdom, to labor for his kingdom, to bring others to repentance. The Bible says that we can do much work. We can plant and we can water. But it is God that must ultimately give the increase. But God can work through us. God can work through us, lowly, weak people. God can work through us to bring about his honor and his glory if we desire to live for him with a pure heart, not a heart that lives for self, not a heart as King David had at this point where he stole the poor man's wife. That kind of attitude, that kind of life will never be victorious over anything. And others will just mock us. Others will laugh at us and say, "Wow, what kind of victorious life is that?" And they will continue on in their sin because of us. But God forbid that we would live that kind of life. Jesus Christ did not come to this world to die, that we would live a life of sin, that we would live a life that others would mock, and rightfully so. Yes, we as God's children will be mocked. We will be made fun of, but rightfully so, if we are living according to his word, according to his will. But at no point is it acceptable for others to mock our lives, rightfully so. At no point is it excusable for us that others would rightfully mock our lives because we're not living according to his will. May God give us the strength each and every day to look into his word, to see ourselves, to look into God's word as a mirror, as we often say, to see our faults. We sing in the Zion's harp, "Is it right therein to see our faults and not feel shame?" Of course not. When we see our faults, our sins, for what they really are, we must feel shame. We must feel a need, a desire to repent and to live for him. And if we truly have that heart, then God will give us all things. God will give us all strength that we need if we live for him. May that be our strength day by day continually as we travel on through this world. Amen.